Hello and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Violet.
And my name is Halle. This is Therapy Hour.
Sorry, I'm having a lot of trouble with my mic right now. Because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples.
This week on Therapy Hour, we'll be talking about a very unfun situation that happens to many of us today. We're talking about FOMO. If you don't know what FOMO means, then you're living under a rock. Or maybe you just have the most fulfilled social life than anyone in the world.
You can still know about FOMO and not experience FOMO. I don't know if that's possible, but you can know about it.
I guess you can know about it. Anyways, if you don't know what FOMO means, it's a term, it's an acronym for the term the fear of missing out. Pretty much referencing like the anxiety or sadness of seeing people hang out via like social media or hearing about it, or the anxiety of not going to something and missing out on this extravagant, lovely time that you would not get if you didn't go.
Yeah.
So personally, I know this feeling all too well. FOMO has taken over my life pretty consistently. And I think the interesting thing is even at times, even when I'm actively doing something fun, I will like go on my phone for a second and I'll see other people doing something fun. And I'm like, what the heck? Yeah. Why am I not there?
Right.
Do you also get this?
Oh, definitely. I think that, you know, I experience FOMO a lot, and I think everyone does if they're being quite honest.
Yes.
In some capacity. And I hate to be the person that's like, oh, you know, social media, like, whatever. Because, you know, I think I like social media. I enjoy social media. I enjoy staying connected with people through social media. But I will say it is a big contributor to my FOMO. I think that I would be probably a lot less, you know, concerned about what other people are doing, people hanging out together, whatever, if social media wasn't a thing.
Oh, yeah.
If I didn't have constant access to everyone else's lives and seemingly their amazing lives.
Yeah.
They're always with people, they're always hanging out, they're always doing something fun.
Yeah.
And I think that big time contributes to my FOMO.
Yeah, I think especially when sometimes you're not having fun at the function that you are at, and then you look at social media and someone's like posting all these stories and you're like, well, I wish I was there instead of here. And this is making me feel worse.
Yeah, where is my invite?
Can you think of, I know this might be a hard question, but can you think of like the first ever time you felt FOMO?
I don't know if there's a particular like one instance that really sticks out to me, but I know that when Facebook started becoming big, for all you youngins listening, Facebook was
Facebook was cool.
Social media at one point. And that was a huge time for me when I was like, you know, like I said, just seemingly to have access to everyone's lives. And we're all like, I don't know, so young, actually.
11 or 12.
11, yeah. And so our lives were not that cool.
No. Like, nobody was doing anything fun.
Usually we were just like at home with our family and stuff. But like, you know, if people were hanging out, they take lots of pictures. It was also a big time for like photo shoots.
Yeah. I was just going to say.
And so it felt like other people were hanging out and doing fun things all the time. And I actually recently kind of like went back and stalked myself on Facebook and found those like 11, 12 year old posts. And I remember it jogged my memory that we used to do this really strange thing where like people would make a status, like let's say I made a status and it said something like, had such a fun day at the mall today with, and then I tag like 10 people.
Yes!
Okay, you did this too?
This has unlocked a memory. Oh my God.
I completely completely forgot, but that was such a big thing to do. And like, I found this one from like, there's this thing called Shady Brook Festival where there's like hay rides and like lights and things like that. And like, it was a big thing for like people to go to in my town. And I had made this post and I tagged like all these people, and definitely a lot of them were like considered popular in the like school district, but I didn't like speak to them or really know them, but I had like tagged them all in this post to like make myself look cool. But yeah, and I think that was coming from this like competitive force of like, you know, seeing other people, seeing statuses like that where I'm not tagged, I wasn't there, I wasn't invited, and having that FOMO and feeling like I needed to make up for it by making this post myself and tagging all these cool, you know, 12-year-olds.
Did you ever, like, pointedly take pictures with, like, popular kids?
Oh, yeah. This is, like,
it's unlocking a lot for me right now.
My poor little insecure past self. But, yeah, totally. Like, there were just, like, a few known names like in the school district in general, and then like specifically at my school, and I would like hate how I looked in the picture. I was not close with the person at all. But I'm like, this is gonna make me look so cool to
everyone's
post this picture
know that
with
I'm
this
hanging out with these people.
Yeah,
I feel exactly the same. I think middle school was the time that it really started hitting me that like I was needing to present myself that like I was having fun, and then also having this intense anxiety, the fact that I wasn't at the place. And I think it's even worse in middle and high school, especially because like I didn't go to a very big middle and high school. So if there was something going on and I wasn't there, that mainly meant that I just wasn't invited and I wasn't doing anything else. And I feel I have this really distinct memory because I didn't have that many friends in high school, but I did have some. And there are these two girls that I used to hang out with a lot. One of them listens to the podcast. Shout out, Davi. Aww. We love you. But I really remember like hanging out with her and this other girl. And I really liked these girls. Like, we had a really good group going. Like, I really loved being around them. But I remember there was this other group of girls that were considered like popular, if that's even a word, or like even that could be considered in like my tiny school. And I remember them like posting something, like they were at the beach and we were like at someone's house, and I remember like feeling so left out, even though I literally wasn't friends with these girls. Like, I could go as far to say I didn't like them too much either. Like, I didn't later on I became friends with them, and I would also like interact with these girls every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just like they weren't really my type of people, and I loved the girls I was hanging out with. We were always talking about One Direction. It was so great. But there was something there that I was like, why am I not there? And like, I think it was influenced by the, you know, kind of like they're popular, I'm not. But then also this like weird sense of, you know, this thing we're going to talk about, FOMO, that you have this need of just needing to be everywhere, which is such a like, I don't know, it's so messed up that it started that young. And like you said, we weren't even doing anything that cool.
No, we weren't. But I needed to be there. And I needed everyone to know I was there, too.
Yeah.
And I think that it is really messed up that it started that young. And, like, that question of, like, when was the first time you felt that? Like, as much as I think it's maybe a natural thing to feel, it's obviously not a good feeling. And to look back and reflect and realize that it was happening that young. And also what you're saying with this other group of girls where it's like, even to this day, I have FOMO that's so irrational where it's like, I want to be there. But I know that if I was there, I probably wouldn't be having that good of a time because there's a reason I'm not there.
Yeah.
Either I'm like not that close to those people. I'm like not actually interested in going to this event or like whatever the case may be. There is a reason I'm not there.
Yes, exactly.
And that reason is probably for the best, but my silly little pea brain is like, no, everyone's having the best time in their life and I'm missing out on it.
Yeah. Do you have, I guess in your current state now, do you have like a story or like a moment of a really terrible FOMO episode, I guess we could call it?
Yeah. Okay, don't get mad at me for using this example, but because because we never really talked about this, but basically during COVID summer, which I know is kind of a weird like time to choose like this big FOMO moment, but because like nobody was really doing anything, we're all like in lockdown, whatever.
Yeah, the summer had opened up a little bit.
It was becoming a bit more safe, but most of my friends were on unemployment.
Yeah.
And I was in a co-op position where I was working like a 9-to-5 online. So in general, that summer was tricky because people were going to the beach and I didn't really have that kind of flexibility. And then I had a very close group of friends do a road trip across Canada.
Violet, you should tell them that I was one of these people.
Yes. I was going to get to that.
Okay. I was like, they're going to wonder why we're being so weird about this
so
trip.
Mysterious. Yes, Halle was one of these people.
Yeah.
And it seemed really fun, but I couldn't take that much time off work. It was going to be quite a long trip. And so there's just like no feasible way of me getting there.
Yeah.
And so, or taking that trip. And it was really hard, I think, especially because it was COVID summer. And so this was kind of my circle that was all getting up and leaving for like several weeks.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it was over my birthday.
I know.
And so I was like, oh, God.
Can I protect myself in this instance to say that
I'm not attacking you.
I know, but
happy you went on this fun trip.
No, not for you, for the listeners to think that I left actively during your birthday on a trip that what the situation was.
Yeah, you bad friend.
A friend wanted to like go on this trip and we had signed up to do it. And then for a good amount of time, we did think that you were going to be able to come at the time.
Yeah.
And so when it became, and then when it happened that you couldn't come and whatever, and then it was like, oh, it's your birthday as well. And then like, whatever. Yeah. I just wanted to say that I didn't
This is not your moment, Halle. This is mine.
No, I just wanted to make sure that people knew that I didn't leave you on your birthday.
Well, you did.
I did. But no,
we're over it.
Yes, go on.
But basically, it was definitely really hard because I definitely wasn't doing anything. Like, I was just working and, like, hanging out with, like, the few people who were left that I wasn't as close with. Yeah. And I was like, oh, God, like, this is going to be such a sad birthday. It ended up being fine, but I was seeing these, like, beautiful pictures of, like, the Canadian landscape and stuff and, you know, just thinking about how all these people who I was very close with in my life at that time, and you know, still am, were like gonna be creating these memories that I just like wasn't gonna be a part of.
Aww.
Yeah, so that was hard.
Do you want to hear something funny though about that about the situation?
Okay,
because while we were away, you and our like roommates at the time had a solstice party and I had major FOMO that I wasn't there and like anything that was happening in Vancouver, I remember just being like, because you know the trip was very long and it was COVID, it was worse in Ontario, and so like I don't want to take it away of saying like, oh, we, you know, this is, it's just funny how like you were having obvious FOMO from this trip and then also being on the other side, there was also FOMO being like of what was going on in Vancouver.
Right. Which just goes to show it's, you know, it's just a matter of like there will always be something happening somewhere else
that you are not going to
physically
cannot
attend.
Yeah.
But you will still long for that.
But to
experience.
Be fair, this was a specific situation that I do think FOMO was very like not necessary, but it feels very like apparent that it would happen.
Yeah.
So this is my public apology for going on this trip.
This is my public confrontation. I'm still holding out. No, but how about you? What's like a big, you know, FOMO episode that you've had?
I can't really think of a specific one, but the first thing that came to mind that I thought was very funny was similar in the one that was what happened to me in high school, which is I would really experience a lot of FOMO during when I'd be hanging out with other people that I actively liked towards strangers, like practical strangers or people who I like didn't really like that much. So there is this group on campus. I'm just gonna say it rhymes with the Schmee and Schmord Club. And there was a large part of my life that I really, really wanted to be in that club, and I was so intimidated by everyone. And during second year, I had become friends with the group of friends that Violet and I had. This was also like around the time that Violet and I started becoming friends. And we would like go out and do our thing as a group, and it would be so much fun. Like, we would all spend a lot of time together, and I really liked it. And then I would see these stupid posts on social media of these groups going out to all these like scheduled events, and I really wanted to go. And I was having so much FOMO over a party that I'd literally never once attended with a group of people that most of them I didn't know very well.
And then
flash forward, because you and I actually both felt this way, I think, about this particular group, where we like kind of wanted to be a part of it, and then we were. And this is like the funniest part of it all, is that we did become a part of that group, and we did like go to all those parties. Spoiler alert, they weren't that fun.
Yeah.
And it was so weird for me to see pictures of those outings. And like, I was gonna say this too, like during when you were talking about the road trip as well, as like, I can see how like, even though we are very, very close and we talked a lot during the time that I was away, like you saw pictures of this like, you know, beautiful scenery and like, oh, all my friends are like making all these memories and blah, blah, blah. But like, I wouldn't go as far to say that it was like the best time in the world all the time.
Sure.
Like, there was lots of times where it wasn't very fun, or like it was kind of boring, or like we were in this like one cabin for however many weeks. And the same thing with this situation of like, we started going to these parties and they weren't that fun. And like, I'd see these pictures of me, like I was in the pictures, and I was like sitting there being like, I look like I'm having a lot of fun, and I literally wasn't.
But that's kind of the thing, is like, it doesn't even matter if it would be a good time or not. I think that like our brain wants to like, it projects its own idea onto things. And so even if like you were talking to me on the road trip and being like, oh, like this happened, like we had to sleep in the car, is really inconvenient, like whatever, my brain is still like, but I wasn't there.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter if it was good or bad. I just wasn't there. And like, that's what my brain like latches onto.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing with those parties. And I think it's funny that being like a FOMO thing, because it's also like, you could really have just bought a ticket.
I know.
To like attend those events.
I could have just gone.
Right. But obviously it's not the same as like knowing people and feeling like you have an in.
Yeah.
But I think that can be kind of a good reminder when you have FOMO, but it's something that's recurring. So you can kind of like go and like check out this event or this group or whatever that you're interested in, and then have it kind of be proven to you of like, oh, like I felt all that FOMO for this.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? And I think that that can maybe like, at least for a short time, soothe that feeling. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say too, is that like, it's interesting because sometimes people do have fun when you're not there. And what I try to remind myself is that, okay, I'm not there and people are having fun. And you know what's going to happen later is that one time I'm going to be there and we will have fun.
We'll have fun together.
Like, that's the thing, right? Yeah. It's like it inevitably, like, it makes kind of sense. It makes a lot more sense when you say it out loud. But I think in your head, you're like, people are having fun without me.
Yeah.
And it's like, OK, but then maybe later on, then I will also then have fun with them. Like, yes, it does suck that like maybe this certain situation, like again, with like the road trip, is like, I can't be there to like make these memories with these people.
Yeah.
But you know what you did get to do? You got to make a bunch of other memories with the same group of people.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, you're like, you will latch on to this because it's like, well, then that was the one time I wasn't there.
Well, it's almost like an ego thing, I think, for me, where it's like, if everyone can get together and I'm not there, and then they can all have fun, they're going to realize that me being there actually doesn't make it that much more fun than if I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Which is like literally never anyone's thought process. But that genuinely like kind of is something that happens in my brain. And
oh
like,
my God, all the time.
I'm moving away from Vancouver in September, and I was just talking to one of our other friends about it. And I was like, yeah, you know, we've had a few other friends like move away since graduating, and you get sad and you miss them sometimes, but at the end of the day, like, everyone moves on and, like, you know, we still have a fun time. And, like, honestly, I don't think about some of those people, like, all the time. Not, like, some of my more close friends, but, like, some of the more distant people in the group.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, like, that's going to be me. Everyone's just going to move on and keep hanging out and having a fun time. And I don't want my friends to, like, sit there and be miserable and just be like, I wish Violet was here. But it definitely hurts the ego a little bit. Yes. To be like, ugh, like, I'm not going to be there and people are still going to have a good time.
People are going to have a... Not, let's not forget that maybe you may also be having a good time. Yeah. But, like,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. No, I get it. I think it is a huge ego thing where you're like, I'm not there. These people are having so much fun without me being there. And now they're all going to realize that, like, I'm actually not even that fun, and they're going to forget about me, and they're never going to invite me to anything ever again. And it's like, that is never once what I'm thinking.
Calm down, bestie. Yeah.
Even when I, like, don't like hanging out with people, or, like, I don't know, when someone's, like, not there and, like, I'm having fun and, like, maybe don't even, like, always want to hang out with them, I don't ever think I've been in the thought process of, like, this is really good that this person isn't here because it's a lot more fun without
them.
This is so much better.
Yeah.
It's never gonna happen.
No.
Anyways, we gotta move it along. Enough of all this. We're gonna take a quick break and listen to a very fitting song, Pressure to Party by Therapy Hour's favorite musical artist, Julia Jaclyn. She's making it back.
Yeah.
This song, I think, really hits on a lot of fronts for a lot of different reasons, but specifically the, like, context of pressure to party when you may not really want to. And then when we come back, we'll be doing a deep dive into some very cool research about FOMO, social media, and the way that advertisers take advantage of FOMO. Mm. You won't want to miss it.
Anyways.
It's playing.
Okay.
Body. Hi, I'm Confused, aka Julie B, aka Zigzag Stardust, aka the host of Musician. I would really love it if you could tune in every second Friday from 11 a.m. till noon and hear me turn the stuff that inspires me into weird audio improv. There's sound collages, there's local music, there's hot off the presses hit tracks, and it's waiting. It's for you. It's for us. It's made by us. So get at me, come on in, and stay inspired in the meantime.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or grocery checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek Coffee today.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on 101.9 FM, CITR. We're talking FOMO. Did you guys have FOMO when the ads were going on and you couldn't be listening to
us
talk?
In the studio with us, hanging out, having a fun time.
We had so much fun.
We had the time of our lives.
It was a movie in here. And now that you guys are here, it's kind of lame.
We're not inviting you guys next time.
So we're entering our research portion. Mm-hmm. And there's some really cool research on FOMO. A lot of like really recent research, which I think is really, really cool. Because nice. A lot of research, I think, kind of stems from, you know, when they find something, you know, in the 90s, they don't really like do a lot with it always. Sometimes it's just like you can only find something that the last time it was tested, it was in the 90s. So a lot of these articles were done in, you know, like 2020, 2021, maybe like 2019 or something like that, which was really cool.
Nice.
But before we jump into all those, I think that it's really what's really driving FOMO and what a lot of these researchers will talk about in their articles is how FOMO really stems from the like humans' need to belong. And there's been a lot of research specifically by these two people, Baumeister and Leary, I think is how you pronounce their names. They did something called the belongingness hypothesis, which was in 1995, and they found that belongingness is an almost universal trait, and the need to feel like you have some form of social relationship and belonging to social groups is something that is like intrinsically linked in the human experience.
Right.
And a lot of these reasons go back to evolution for survival and reproduction. We know that humans have survived and like prolonged their survival because we can live in really good social groups and we can live in large social groups. So this idea of having social bonds and having connection to community is really, really important for humans, which kind of then leads us to this idea of like why FOMO and why this fear of ostracization, but also just like not being and not having that connection is really difficult for people. So I did some digging into where FOMO was created. Apparently the...
Like the term?
Yeah, the term. Apparently it was first coined in 2004, but then gained popularity in 2010 to describe the feeling in relation to social media.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, isn't that cool? They had a lot of articles were talking about how they didn't really know why the term was first coined, but then they saw this like hike in popularity usage of the word FOMO, and it coincides with this big social media boom, which makes
that
a lot
resonates.
Of sense.
I'm not gonna say we predicted it, but
we kind of did. So these two researchers, Gupta and Sharma, say that FOMO is characterized by the desire to stay continuously connected with what others are doing. So we're really driven, especially in the day and age of social media, to know what everyone's doing and keep up with it constantly. And they kind of talk about how FOMO has these two processes when it's kind of overcoming your emotions, which is one, the perception of missing out, and then two, the compulsive behavior to maintain the social connections that you feel like you're missing out on. So a lot of this ends up being like maladaptive usage of social media. They've done a lot of research on how when people feel more FOMO, they are on social media more than they would be otherwise. And it's like a negative like reaction, because you're like going online, seeing these pictures, feeling like you're missing out, and then staying online and continuously feeling like you're missing out, which I think is so true. I've had this happen. This literally happened to me like 3 days ago, where I saw this group of people hanging out, and I don't know why I was just like overcome with like, why am I not there? Like, why am I not doing this? And then I just like kept being on social media and seeing more and more people either being at this event or going to other events. And I was like in bed and I was like, why am I not there?
Yeah.
Why is this not happening with me?
And then you want to like glean what you can from that event that you weren't at, so you can feel like you can at least understand what it was and what everyone got up to.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether or not that event was fun, like, who knows? But you also have a fun, exciting life.
Yeah.
But when you're on, like, we've talked about this before on the podcast of like, when you're have the time to be on social media, you're probably not doing something particularly interesting.
Right.
Like, I go on Instagram or TikTok or whatever when I'm like bored, you know, alone, you know, don't have plans at that particular moment. And I think that feeds into that as well of like,
absolutely,
you are not doing something super exciting. You're scrolling through Instagram, but you're seeing everyone else do the exciting thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because they see a lot of the same negative effects of loneliness also in when happening when people are having FOMO of some sort. So like having, so a lot of issues with loneliness or just like no lower social connection is, you know, lack of sleep, lower health problems, lower mental health problems. It affects both your like physical and mental health, which is really crazy. Your like immune system is really connected to it. And then the same thing will happen when you have like this what they call maladaptive attachment to social media, associated with lack of sleep, reduced life expectancy, emotional tension, and negative effects to physical well-being and anxiety.
Wow.
Yeah. Dang. It's really crazy. And it's the same thing again. Like, it's the same thing with people who like report higher levels of loneliness. Like, these are, it really can affect your like physical health, which is kind of crazy to think about. And then they also have found that there's a huge correlation between motives motives for social media use and social media addiction, which in like layman's terms just meaning like when you have the motive to be on social media kind of prompted by FOMO, you're also more likely to also gain like some form of like social media addiction, which is a very real thing that people can have. And it's thought to be that FOMO could be some form of factor that's like leading people down these rabbit holes of like consistent and constant use of social media.
Which is why I feel like it's really good when I see people recognizing the way that they're being impacted by social media and then like deleting these apps, like taking a little break, taking a little breather, being like, I'm hyper fixated on this and it's time to get off this app.
Yeah, exactly. Moving forward to like they had a lot of stuff about FOMO leading to more problematic use of social media. And age and gender just like did not affect this relationship at all. They did a really widespread like research project on multiple people of multiple genders and ages, and it affected all of us similarly. Like, FOMO was still this really strong effect on like
we all have one thing in
common. And kind of what you were saying earlier, and this you kind of predicted what I was gonna say, which is I remember taking this class on social media when I was still in uni, and they talked a lot about how when going on to social media already feeling FOMO or already feeling negative, the effects will like further someone's anxieties and they're like the negative effects that you can get from like maladaptive social media use or FOMO in general. Whereas when social media was used in times of not feeling FOMO or feeling like fulfilled in life, they didn't see the same thing happen. So this is kind of like the way of like when people criticize social media, it's not technically social media itself, but social media is this kind of like contributing factor.
Right.
You have to kind of pre-assess this, you know, what this person is going into feeling when they're about to interact with, you know, Instagram, TikTok, whatever. And these things are really dangerous because, you know, surprise, surprise, capitalism has struck again. And FOMO is like used in marketing and sales tactics. So there's like all these travel articles that I found that were called like Winning with FOMO and MTV and Flight Center Travel FOMO. And it's a way that now a lot of companies are capitalizing on to promote their products to make you feel like you're missing out on something. And then you are more inclined to then buy the product.
Oh, my God.
Which is so mean.
Yeah, that's just wrong.
Because like even when I was on, you know, the UBC library data thing, they had like marketing articles where they were talking about how to use FOMO for like to like, you know, up your sales or whatever.
So that's what the solder students have been learning this whole time.
Exactly. And this one article that I was reading was so interesting because they were the first psychology journal to actually talk about this relationship instead of, you know, publishing for the benefits of like big companies. But pretty much these advertising companies have this like established psychological process that they pretty much make other people go through. They know that FOMO is very powerful and that people will do almost anything to get rid of that feeling, and therefore in this case what they can do to get rid of that feeling is buy whatever product. So it's used for beer, clothing, feminine hygiene products, real estate, and travel companies are the most popular out of all these.
Feminine hygiene products.
I know, they didn't really elaborate on that in the article, but I was like, what could that be? But yeah, anyways, think about like fast fashion or like fashion trends. I feel like this was a big thing a few months ago with, if anyone knows about the House of Sunny dress, but it was pretty much this dress that every influencer had. And the way that they marketed it was like, this is the cool girl. Like this is, and everybody has this dress. Like if you don't have this dress, like you're not in this group.
Right.
And they make you, they artificially, you know, impose FOMO on an individual to then make someone come and buy their products.
Wow.
Which is so terrible.
That ain't right.
That ain't right.
That ain't right. Wow. That's that is really unexpected that FOMO has literally infiltrated marketing, and they know how pervasive it is, and they know what a powerful sensation and experience it is to have FOMO, that it can manipulate people into buying certain products or, you know, buying this dress or whatever.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's not surprising because I know we've talked before about the psychology of marketing.
Yeah.
And so it makes a lot of sense that they capitalize on FOMO, but that is still quite shocking to hear.
Yeah. And when you really think about, you know, past marketing and like what FOMO is and how it, you know, as we've seen and as it's been researched, has really detrimental like mental health effects on you and of any individual, and the fact that it seems like almost anyone is susceptible to this. It's really honestly disgusting to hear that companies are profiting off of this, but just in general it makes me so sad to think that, because I'm really not somebody that hates quote-unquote social media, I definitely don't like it at times, but it makes so much sense to me as to why we created social media and why we wanted to stay connected with one another. But FOMO has really come into play where now it's, it can be a contributing cause to addiction to social media. It can be a contributing cause to like different mental and physical health issues. It can like affect the way that you then start presenting yourself online. And it can take a huge toll. And I didn't even mention this. It takes a huge toll on like your like self-consciousness and like feeling like good about yourself.
Yeah, self-confidence as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So because of this, there were some great researchers that came in, and they have some interesting names, so please forgive me as I try to pronounce them. It's Alutaiba, Althani, Michelini, and Ali.
Nice.
I think that's what it is.
Good job.
And they actually came up with a FOMO reduction method.
No way, let's hear it.
And I thought I would end the research portion with maybe giving some insight from these lovely researchers.
There is hope.
So they came up with two main things to do, which one of them is using technological and social skills combined to help reduce the effects of FOMO. I'll get into like what that means afterwards. And then also using education to also help FOMO.
Okay.
So on the technological and social side, what they pretty much talked about was using both like technical literacy skills as well as your own social skills to combat and cope with FOMO. That this meaning like replying to stories. This was like a big one that they talked about. Like actually interacting with social media really helped individuals because you feel as if you're still connecting to the individual. So like if you saw, you know, this event that was happening and someone's posting and you wish you were there, you know, going down and clicking reply on Instagram and being like, oh wow, like this looks so much fun. You know, how did you like it?
And
you
start, how was your night?
How was your night? Like interacting with that person can really help ease the extreme feeling of what you might be feeling during, you know, whatever, this FOMO episode. Same thing, they talked about filtering, which was like filtering out what type of social media you are consuming and the types of social media you're consuming in certain time periods. So wanting to see like close friends or wanting to see people that you know rather than like extended strangers that might kind of elicit this like, why am I not here? And I don't even know what this is like. And they also talked a lot about educating individuals as to how FOMO works. And they talked about when they educate people on how FOMO is prompted, so they understand that the feeling they're having is kind of being not manufactured, but knowing the reasons why it's happening can really help people in like instead of just feeling this feeling and not know, because I feel like I didn't even really know what FOMO was until a few years ago. I feel like before that it was always like, what am I feeling? Like, why do I feel so sad and anxious and jealous of all these people? And then later down the line, like learning a bit more about FOMO and understanding how it works, you can kind of talk yourself out of it when you have the education there.
Yeah, I feel like that's a big thing that kind of like the research that I've heard from you through Therapy Hour about some of the different episodes we've done on negative emotions has really helped me, because I'm able to recognize like and put into words better what's actually going on, and then that therefore helps me process that emotion.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice to hear. Well, it's really good, I think, to just keep informed about, because it's not going to fix FOMO is the thing. Like the main result they got from this situation was that the participants accepted the model and it also helped them. They reported it that it helped them manage their FOMO. It's not like it's not going to happen still, but I think that when you're well informed as to why you feel this way, it can help a lot more in terms of like, okay, I'm upset that I'm not here, and then like assessing, you know, why you feel that way. And then even what we were doing earlier, being like, well, maybe I don't really want to be there in the first place.
Yeah. And I think it's been helpful for me as well when I post pictures, because I think that they're nice, or like a video on my story or something. But I also recognize that those things don't encapsulate everything that happened, like whether like something bad happened that night, or you know, or it wasn't that fun, or like I went home early, or whatever the case may be. But I have people responding being like, oh, this looks amazing, like, oh, I'm so jealous, whatever. it helps put into perspective the fact that my life is also curated and it's also, you know, not 100% real on social media.
Yeah.
And I think when I recognize myself posting those little highlight reels, it helps me to also recognize that other people are also doing that.
Yeah, I've done that a lot with myself, especially recently. It's like the other night when I was having this feeling, I like reminded myself of times where I have been taking pictures or videos mm-hmm. at events and I'm actually really not having that good of a time.
Yeah.
And then if it helps you, just like think that everyone's having a bad time. It's not going to hurt anyone.
That actually is a technique that I have used.
I didn't want to say it.
I know, because it sounds kind of mean, but sometimes when I'm like, oh man, like this looks crazy, like I wish I was there, whatever, and they'll be like, well, actually, it's probably really not that fun
it's
at all.
It's really bad.
It's probably really boring and awkward, and it's, you know, my life is better. But I think if you have to kind of hype yourself up that way, like in your head, I want to like go and like be like, hey, this actually looks really boring.
You messaged the person on Instagram like, were you really bored through all this? Because it looks like you were really bored and we're having the worst time.
That'd be so messed up.
That would be so funny.
No, we do not recommend doing that.
No, don't do
but
that.
I will admit it's vulnerability time and I have done that.
What, message someone?
No.
Oh.
I've like thought that to myself.
Oh.
Of like, oh, it's probably actually not as fun as it looks.
Oh yeah. I didn't want to say it earlier, but I literally do that all the time. Especially if it's like certain types of people in my life, mm-hmm. I'll always go back to being like, oh, well, actually, I don't think it looked that fun because of this, and this. And I actually don't think I have FOMO right now. I don't know FOMO, like how would I have FOMO about something that's literally
boring.
Not fun?
Yeah, I don't know if that's... I think that's okay, though. I think that's helped
me. I'm
not
doing anything bad. Like, no. I wouldn't say that I would... I'm not telling anyone anything.
No.
I would say, you know, I try to steer clear of fully doing that all the time. I think it is really important to do some, like, internal work sometimes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, if it's in a spot where you're like, I don't want to do... You know, I don't want to, like... I need to get rid of this feeling. Convince yourself it wasn't that fun anyways.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break to listen to some ads, and when we come back, we'll be talking about the term JOMO. If you don't know what that is, I'll let you take this time to have a little think, and when we come back, we'll reveal what it really means.
Do you want to change the state of the world, but instead you keep buying material goods to satisfy whatever desire you have in that very moment? Me too. But now you can do both! Rock Shop and Community Thrift is a local vintage shop that fulfills your 1970s alt-chic fantasy while also supporting at-risk people through their compassionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing healthcare, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria. So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. We've been talking about FOMO this week,
mm-hmm.
but I was talking to a few friends and I recently heard the new term from a few of my friends related to FOMO, which is JOMO. And what JOMO, so FOMO, as we know, is fear of missing out. JOMO is the joy of missing out. Have you experienced this?
Yes, I didn't know there was a word for it.
Yeah.
I'm so shocked, but I'm kind of obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like I've definitely had this before. Mainly when I have decided to not go somewhere
mm-hmm.
and then I find out it wasn't that fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the main one for me. And I think it, like, especially when I the same group I was talking about earlier. Yeah. I think that there was like this kind of pull that I still wanted to go to mm-hmm. these events all the time. And then I remember missing one. And this was still in the time where I was like, they're not that fun. But mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, everyone's going. Yeah. I can't believe I can't go.
Yeah.
And then everyone came back and was like, it really wasn't that fun. Like, we were miserable. We left early, blah, blah, yeah. blah. And I was like, okay, yeah. that's good that I didn't. I was like, kind of gave myself a pat on the back. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that's my main experience. It's always like when the event was kind of bad mm-hmm. and then everyone comes back. I think I still get FOMO and then the end goal is
right.
JOMO.
Right.
What about you?
Yeah, I definitely have some JOMO moments.
Mm-hmm.
JOMO moments. That's so good.
Some JOMINS, maybe?
Oh, you just started something.
I think I did.
I feel like I definitely relate to the, you know, bad night thing. Sometimes I honestly still feel FOMO, though, because I'm like, oh, but me and my friends could have all had, like, a bad night together. but I tend to have, like, I am an introvert, as we established
yeah, we did that.
In a previous episode, and I feel like this is a very introvert thing, but sometimes I choose to, like, have a night in or, like, spend the day to myself or whatever, and, you know, I end up being like, I'm really glad I spent that time with myself
yeah.
to, like, recuperate or, you know, just do some things I like to do alone, and that usually gives me JOMO.
Yeah.
I also get JOMO when I decide to stay in and then that decision allows me to fulfill a need that I have for the next day,
mm-hmm.
like waking up early and thinking to myself like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't go out last night.
Interesting.
That's a JOMO moment for
me. Don't think I ever get JOMO moments like that. I'm always upset if I have to wake up early and I can't go to something.
Yeah, but then I just know how it feels to like, force myself to go out and then wake up early and it's never fun.
You're not happy with it.
But I've also had JOMO when, like, initially I'm having that FOMO feeling. And then, like we were talking about earlier, realizing that whoever, whatever I'm seeing is not actually who I want to be with or what I want to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, definitely a tricky place to get to. But it is a good place to get to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that for me, in those situations, and I think I've gotten a lot better at this the older I've gotten.
Yes.
Because I was, in making this episode, I was thinking about how my FOMO has honestly really lessened over the years, mm-hmm. like especially in the last like few years. And I think that's partially because of COVID and then partially because of just like growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I get tired and sometimes yeah. I'm, you know, I don't want to do the things that everyone is going to go do. But I think in this case, I've had this happen a lot where I see this event and it's happening and it looks really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realize that, like, the types of people that are there, like, not to say that, like, oh, there's someone there that I don't want to see.
Yeah.
Maybe there is. I don't know. But, like, also just knowing, like, the general mm-hmm. vibe of something or,
mm-hmm.
like, knowing that I've been out with these types of people before and knowing that I just, like, didn't have a nice time beforehand.
Yeah, connect or whatever.
And, like, this especially goes to now, like, you know, when we were talking earlier about how, you know, I would have this thing and it seems like you did too at some point where you're like hanging out with someone or doing something and then like seeing something else happening and feeling upset that you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I've been able to do in like these cases is like usually there's an event happening. I'm already going to do this other thing.
Yeah.
I'm upset that I can't go to both events at one time.
Yeah.
And I stay at the whatever event that I'm at originally. And then either like see or know who's going to be there or hear about it, but then also that in tandem with really enjoying the time I'm having with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this always happens when I'm like hanging out like one-on-one with someone or just a couple people and there's this big event happening somewhere else and I'm kind of upset that I can't be there.
Yes.
But then end up having this like really lovely time with the people that I am with,
mm-hmm.
and recognizing like I can go to a party with a bunch of strangers,
yeah.
or a bunch of people that like maybe I've met before and we've never really connected.
Yeah.
Or I could just choose to stay with the people that I've enjoyed
mm-hmm.
in the past.
Yeah. And like know you have a strong connection with and want to continue to invest time and energy
exactly.
into those relationships that are already important to you.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. And I feel I kind of have like a twist sort of on what you were saying about the group at the beginning of this episode, but as it relates to Jomo, because I've seen a lot of people going to these events recently that look super cool on social media, and there are all these fun pictures and everyone's dressed super sick and whatever. And again, it's kind of silly because it's like I could just buy tickets and go to these things, but I haven't. But then I talked to someone who has gone to a lot of them, and they told me that they're actually not really that fun. And they're kind of all centered around being seen there and like having your photo taken and like being on social media and being like, ooh, look, this group posted me, like, I'm cool.
Yeah.
But not actually like being there for the experience of being there and like meeting people, fostering community, all of those things.
Exactly.
And it really helped me feel better about my FOMO with these events, because I hadn't been there. I didn't know what it was like. And all I knew was that it looked fun and it looked cool. And then hearing firsthand from someone who had been there multiple times and were like, yeah, it's actually really not that great. And they were comparing it directly to this other party that we had gone to together recently. And they were like, that was way more fun than those events ever are. And I'm like, oh, cool.
I think the thing too, and this is just in like a general comment, I guess, in terms of the different types of socializing that people can do, I think that often the types of socializing that do really well on social media tend to be large events with lots of people, usually like dressed really well and like maybe like a fun venue, and it's usually probably not at someone's house. And there's nothing wrong with going to those events. I've gone to plenty of events like that before. But I do think that in my older, quote unquote, years, me being 23, but I think that like a big thing that's important to me in this time of my life is to like foster a community of people that I really love and cherish. And like for me, socializing is about, you know, going and having fun and doing whatever, but it's also about finding the people that I enjoy being around and like, you know, taking all of this and like bringing it back to like you and me when we were 12 years old and trying to be, you know, with a group of people that we just inevitably weren't with and like we weren't accepted by, or like probably maybe didn't even want to be friends with her unknowingly maybe. And it's interesting to like grow up a little bit and then meet the people you actually like being around, and then deciding, you know, I want to go, because those big events I tend to find the most fun when I'm going with the people that I really like being around. And I think that younger me was always put a lot of pressure on herself to like go and meet more people and meet the most people you can and go to places where everyone was a stranger and make half of the people that her friends and like all that stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. I probably still do a little bit of that as well. But I think, you know, we went to a very big event the other day and it was a lot of fun because we were with our friends and we got to dance with our friends. And I actually do think that there were some pictures that were taken of us, and maybe they will look really nice. But like, a lot of those people were strangers, and I don't think I would do something like that every week anymore. But there was probably a time in my life that a part of me thought that the ultimate height of social interaction was doing that all day, every day, bro.
Not the Jake Paul reference.
You know what we need to do is we need to ask someone about FOMO who was in those popular middle and high school groups. And see if we need, if you, actually, this is a therapy call out live on Therapy Hour, CITR 101.9 FM. If you were a part of the popular group, and don't be modest.
Yeah, don't be shy.
Tell us. Tell us if you were part of a popular clique in high school, and we're going to sit you down and ask you.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Maybe we'll do like a little story highlight or something.
Yeah, it could be cool.
Oh my God, that's a really fun idea. I definitely can think of a few people I could reach out to. And I think, you know, I don't even know if they would be like aware of the fact that I at least viewed them popular as popular or not, but
we'll have to see.
Regardless, We've got some homework for you this week, as always. FOMO, as we've discussed, is connected to social media. So if you're on social media, try to remember that not everything you see is real. It's almost always the highlights of someone's life. And if you're suffering from particularly bad FOMO, maybe try writing down a few things about your day or past week that you really loved and practice some gratitude to help keep yourself grounded. I was also thinking when you were just saying your last bit there about how, you know, if you see this group of people on social media having a really beautiful dinner party, why don't you consider like throwing a dinner party for you and your friends, or like see how you can, you know, pinpoint something that you feel a lot of FOMO for and maybe go to the next event or do something to kind of bring it into your reality.
Exactly. I think that's the best advice, especially with like these events that people go to. And if you're in university or you're going back to school soon, like just remember you can always go.
Yeah.
You can always go and see what it's like. I'm sure one of your friends will come with you.
Yeah.
And if you don't, if you do go by yourself, then like go and make some friends and see if this is like a type of group that you want to be a part of.
Yeah.
It's really not. I think people think it's scarier than it really is.
Yeah.
And it's intimidating, of course, but I'm sure you can do it.
Yeah.
This has been your free therapy session. We're your hosts. I'm Halle.
I'm Violet. And this is Therapy Hour, because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
Why are you lip syncing my part of the outro?
Don't tell
them. I
need
to call you out because they cannot see you in the studio, but literally Holly just like mouthed the words of my outro part.
It's funny. Such a catchy little outro. And Anyways, be sure to tune in next week where we'll be talking about roommates. You won't want to miss this one.